have to do that. We'll have to establish it for now. We'll have to enact an ordinance establishing the county fair board. We read it two meetings, enacted the second meeting, published. And we can appoint the members of it.
There's no hurry on it right now. I mean, we don't have to do it today.
I was gonna say, if we're gonna continue this to tomorrow.
We need to move on, but not.
But we're gonna have to have, we're talking about bringing agriculture fair back into our community, and this is a start. I'm just here as, Dr. Morgan called and told me he had worked out for $7,000 worth of purses for it. Which y'all would, I don't know what number of boards that, he said, well, we've been talking a little bit about this before, but I think that the JC's cannot run that type of thing as many horses as they will have. There'll be a lot of, just brought in here to be taken care of. If we had a fair board, a working fair board, you know, somebody can come back and make our fair, you know, play it has been. That's just, if you know, I don't see, I think it's an awful good idea. I think you did get a lot of rural people, also some city people, but mostly rural people, farmers back into involvement of it where you have. And that's all. And I'll just write the letter then.
Alright.
And request the funds. Okay, so, well, we're together. Yes, sign the same letter. Y'all think that's a good idea?
How much to improve what again?
Well, I'm not sure that we can get it. We're making improvements down the park now at the grandstand, but really, even if we didn't get the grant for the improvement of the grandstand, it'd be great if we could, for lighting and track improvements in the grandstand itself, because we're going ahead and doing some of those now. But the main thing is that we got $7,000 for purses for the meet. You know. And I guess that, I don't think the JC himself can put it on. You know, it's too much work. Planning ahead, Scotty Harris, who will come in here, he runs Paducah's, their meet down there. And he runs the one in Mayfield. Last year, they had 3,500 people. If it gets something, I think we'll bring our county fair back to what it used to be. And I think, well, I know John Rudd. Y'all know John. John's, he races now. He trains his horses down here. I know that he'll help. But Scotty Harris out of Paducah, and I'm not sure he'll be after Mayfield. They'll come over and help us set up. It'd be a lot of work in it, but we do have the money to bring racing back. And I think if we had a fair board to help, you know. Not only racing, but maybe bring the agriculture concept back to anything. But I will pursue the grant. Dr. Morgan told me that no one had been turned down. It asked for it. I always thought this was a match, Mike. You know, we talked about it.
It's 50,000. Everybody's got to ask for it.
But I'm afraid that I've been asked for somehow the same pot. I'm not sure. So, you know, we'll find out.
Okay. Do you have to have the license to qualify for the grant?
Yes.
No.
Is that it?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate you.
Gentlemen, we have a couple of gentlemen that's been waiting here all morning, and I know it's lunchtime, and I've got a point in Calvert City, but we were talking about health insurance, and I have it on the agenda for old business, but we're not going to get into all the, you know, everything today. Health insurance, the Golden Rule people gave us a proposal a month or so ago. Then we received a letter from our president, carrier, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they posed some questions. And the question that they posed, I thought it was only fair to Golden Rule to have a chance to respond to some of those questions. And they don't want to get into a situation of, you know, saying, this company's no good or that, but I think they should have an opportunity to respond to questions, or at least some of the questions that were posed. Then I think we're going to have to make the decision whether today or in the very near future whether or not we're going to continue with our present insurance carrier, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield, or are we going to go out for bid again and take another look at this. Now, Dan and I have been talking about it, and we are of the opinion that we should at least seriously about going to bid again and seeing what kind of prices and coverage we can get, write some specs up to bring the insurance coverage more in line with today's cost. Now, we're not asking to do that today, but we will be asking you to give us the authority to look into this thing and then come back to you with a recommendation probably at the next court meeting whether or not we want to go to bid again or not. But anyway, for right now, what I wanted to give these gentlemen a chance to do is to respond to some of the questions that were brought up. And I asked Max personally, told him about some of the questions they posed, and he came to me and gave me his response, and I asked him to come today to make those same responses to you. So,
did they all get a copy of the questions?
Yes, everybody got a copy of the questions.
I'll answer questions. The first question was, how are our rates determined, and how long the rates guaranteed? Our proposal guarantees a rate 1 year at a time. In other words, our rates are determined by the geographic area where we operate. In other words, a rate to a quote in this area would be more favorable than what we might quote in Louisville, because the hospital costs are a little less here than they are in large areas. So it's geographically rated. Guaranteed for a year at a time. The other question was, if someone leaves employment of the group, will we furnish coverage? Is it automatic? What is the rate? Well, the coverage is furnished automatic to anybody. They have to take advantage of it within 31 days. That's standard with all companies. But any group insurance carrier, including ours, are required to furnish a conversion plan to anybody that leaves the group. It is not the same benefit as what the group carries. It's an individual plan. It's like Blue Cross furnishes an individual plan for their office people. We do the same thing. And our rate is based on age, but I would say it'll run normally about 10 to 12% more than what it is to the group. That's just kind of a ballpark figure. Based on wages. The other question was, will CETA workers be covered? Yes, they will. And what will be the county's involvement in claims? Our claims are handled directly between the company and the hospitals. Our claims are handled just like Blue Cross Blue Shield, actually. The county does not get involved in having to file a claim or do the employees. What happens when one of your employees committed to a hospital outside the area, a doctor in the hospital, you know, will go to rule? Any case where you're admitted out of the area, out of state or whatever, we'll accept a collect call from any hospital to verify coverage. And that would be required, I think, pretty much regardless of what company. Because a person might go into a hospital in Nashville and have an ID card, but there's no assurance that premium has been paid or is in fact covered. And we confirm coverage over the phone. By long distance phone call, we can accept less than a problem anywhere the money can go. Number six is why would a company's business drop over $3 million? 76 to 77 for our discharge. Well, that's kind of an interesting story. Our business did drop, premium income did drop $3 million in 1 year. It was a result of the St. Louis school system. Now, St. Louis school system had Blue Cross Blue Shield for a number of years. They changed from Blue Cross to Golden Rule. We had them, I don't know whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years. We had them a few years. Blue Cross wanted in there so bad, they came in and underbid it, really put the rate lower than they should have. We knew it. It was obvious because our rate was, we were just barely breaking even at the time. And they lost a substantial amount of money that year. But then they they came back to the board school board then the following year and asked for about a 46-48% rate increase to bring themselves up, plus cover the losses that they incurred. The school board turned them down, went back to the old rule, but there was 1 year there that we lost that group. Well, it's a $3 million account at that time. It's $4 million now. But it was that was all that one group. It's about a $6 million, $6,000 in the group. But we have it back today, but it was a temporary thing there that we lost. How can Golden Rule pay the same or better benefits than Blue Cross and Blue Shield and charge the same and retain $24 million? What the Argus chart, which they don't point out here, the Argus charts lump all your business together. In other words, we write a lot of individual business, individual direct pay business, where we underwrite it, we take a medical history, we screen it pretty carefully, and there is a good profit margin when you do business that way. Now we also do a lot of group business, but the Argus charts throw all of it in one hopper, and it makes it appear that what they're doing here is comparing the whole thing. Not just our group operation. Our group operation, we run in the neighborhood of 6 to 7-8%. Now that's what we run. Now, the city of Evansville, we insure them, or we write that, we just administer for them. We furnish the coverage and that for 6%. That's what we charge for administering the group. So we can operate on that basis. We are a profit making company. I think that's important because it does. Watch what we're doing and how we do our business. But it's a little bit, it looks like it's, we're making a lot more money than we really are. We're making a lot of money on our individual business, about 35%. Okay? On our individual business, that's where the money is. If you have any further questions on this, I'd be happy to elaborate further on it. But,
who was the contact individual at the St. Louis Board of Education, the person acting on behalf of the board? Would you be able to get his name?
Oh, yeah. Bill Daly, one of them. I can't tell you what the trade is. Do you know what the trade is?
I don't know. Did we give you a sheet?
Yes.
I believe his name is on that list of people contacting the same
right.
Board of Education.
Right. Gentlemen, what I wanted to give these gentlemen a chance to do is to answer the questions. Now, with the rates that they quoted us, the time has elapsed. Each insurance company, they can only guarantee a rate for so long, and then they have to submit to their people again to give another rate. It may be the same, it may be lower, it may be higher, but a rate is only guaranteed for so many days. What my suggestion is, and we've gone around the horn with this thing, is that for Dan and I to look into this, come up with some figures that we think is looking at what we now have, what they've proposed, what other companies might propose, and come up with a benefit rate that we think we could live with, and then come back to the board with the recommendation to go out to bid again for the insurance coverage. But maybe the Blue Cross Blue Shield would be the low bid. I don't know. But I have had some of our employees express that they're not happy with our current coverage. We need to upgrade it. Even to the point that they'd be willing to pay more for the coverage, but to upgrade the coverage from what we now have. And what's your opinions about it?
You're saying it's just a call from the new bid and as
another possibly. I really feel it will, Gordon, but what I want to do is to give Dan and I an opportunity to really get into this thing and come up with some schedules, benefit schedules. We think we cover our needs. go to bed on at the court after you have reviewed it. If you then feel like it's justified to go to bed, to go to bed. Well, I don't believe we'll need a motion on that as long as no problem, Dan. And I'll try to have a proposal for you. Gentlemen, we appreciate y'all coming in this morning, and I think you've answered the question very well.
If you check with some of the groups that we have insured past, that we've had for a number of years, I think the proof of putting in a heating of the experience is what we're paid by. That's where it's at. And if we can't deliver, if you don't find it out, they make a few phone calls. If we can't, I think we're going to find it out.
I think you're right. Like I said, the tools can get something like this, it naturally goes out.
Gentlemen, thank you. Gentlemen, it's 10 after 12. I've got a 10-minute slate now for me. I'm going to ask that we recess until Thursday morning, 9 o'clock.
We've got public hearing right away.
Thursday.
Right. So the
Olive
Fire Protection District. So we've got to come back Thursday morning for that anyway.
Gentlemen, if there's no objection, we'll recess until 9 o'clock. You'll need to call the messenger and tell them. Lonnie, you find out good. We'll be here. 9 o'clock Thursday morning, back here in the office.
Put one of them off if you want.
Okay.
Oh. You're in recess.
Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a
minute. Pardon?
You're in recess. We kind of jumped around on the agenda the other day. We covered a few things. I'll try to pick up correspondence before we left off. I have some correspondence that I need to share with you. Got a letter from R.C. Riley of Marshall County Public Library. I believe R.C. is serving as chairman. County Library Board. It says the Marshall County Public Library Board wishes to enlist your aid and that of the fiscal court for the equipment fund for the Calvert City branch of the Marshall County Library. Recently, we received a grant from the State Department of Libraries in the amount of $13,456.80 for this project. This amount was to be matched on the usual 65-35 ratio. Our board set aside $8,000 out of the general operating funds for our share. This will bring the total amount available for the project to approximately $21,500. Since the amount we received from the state library was short of what we requested, and more shelving was found to be needed than first estimated, we will be about $4,000 short. We hope you will be able to help us with that amount. Calvert City Council, having exhausted their funds in buying the lot and meeting other demands for the total building project, are not able to assist us financially. The library section of the building will be, in effect, given to the library board. It will be our responsibility to maintain our portion and to contribute towards general upkeep once we are moved and operable. Thank you in advance for your consideration of this request. We hope with your help to serve Marshall County with three new libraries, making Marshall County unique in the state for a rural county. They are requesting $4,000. Gentlemen, at this time, until we can find out what our taxes are going to bring in, I would recommend that we table any action on their request until after the first of the year when we get a better picture of what our tax levy is going to bring into the county and how our budget is going to look after the first of the year, which will be 6 months into our fiscal year at that time, and maybe be a little better able to make some kind of a recommendation to you as to whether or not
we feel like we can give an amount. According to the county library and RC, it's very needed. Of course, they're going to have a real nice library there. It'll be located in the new Calvert City Hall there in Calvert. Calvert City, of course, is the only area right now that doesn't have a new facility. They're still having to operate another old facility there down by the Graffin Market down in Calvert City Shopping Center, the old shopping center. Hardin has a new library facility, and so does Benton, that section of the county. So, you know, I'm glad they're getting a new facility.
Do we normally do this?
No, they have their own taxing authority. The County Library Board, of course, levies a tax each year to run the library.
What a thought.
Now, the last session of the legislature, if you remember, we tried to make the special district bill, the libraries was included. The libraries fought that bill real hard. Whether that would have meant more money to them or not, I feel like it would have, and the fact that we could have got some revenue sharing money possibly for the libraries if that special district bill passed. It will be brought up again in the next session. But their need is now, I think we just have to wait and see. We've got a lot of obligations right now. As y'all well know, a limited amount of money.
Well, that's sure. Recommendation passed. That's a lot of going on with it.
Well, I'd feel more comfortable after looking at the first 6 months of our expenditures and seeing what we've got left and then seeing what we can do. Even if we can't go the whole 4,000, then I think we ought to do what we can to assist them in whatever we can. So no one disagrees. Motion by Wayne Lovett that we table action on the request of the library board until the second meeting in January. That'll give Dan and I a chance to move this thing on. So we have a second. Second by Gordon Hargrove. Discussion on the motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, also under correspondence, got a thank you card from the family of Garvin Darnell expressing appreciation for the fiscal court. We did send flowers to the Darnell family. I have a letter here that you can see was registered and all kind of stamps put on it. It's from the governor's office, Jack Hall. I met with Jack and Fort Mitchell, and also briefly with the governor. And it says, Dear Judge Miller, your request on behalf of Marshall County Fiscal Court for financial assistance for construction of an annex to the Marshall County Courthouse has been reviewed. Pleased to advise you that Governor Carroll has allocated $75,000 from his contingency fund for this project. The governor has authorized $25,000 to be paid from his 1978-79 contingency fund and $50,000 to be paid from his 79-80 contingency fund. A request has been submitted to the Department of Finance Administration to issue the $25,000 check against the current year contingency fund. Normally it takes 2 to 3 weeks to process the check. Upon receipt of the check, we will be getting in touch with you. We will submit a request to the Department of Finance Administration on or about July 1, '79 to issue the $50,000. You should receive this check around August 1, 1979. If you have any questions concerning the grant of the process, please feel free to contact me, Jack Hall. Well, what this does is locks our money in. And, of course, we've had verbal agreements all along. Now, this, you know, I had hoped we'd get the money, all of it, in this fiscal year. But with this letter, if it become necessary, we could borrow the additional $50,000 on the strength of the commitment. And
where will that put us on the contract?
Well, this just reaffirms the money we'd already budgeted this for that claim, 75. But see, then they came back and was gonna loan us the money. Instead of paying us outright. Okay, we have a letter from Congressman Hubbard. It's a letter to Congressman Hubbard from Charlie Oxley. Regard to the Aurora sewer collection system. Says, we have the profile that was developed and submitted for this project by our economic developer representative for Western Kentucky, Bill Glasscock. The potential applicant is the sanitation district number 1 of Marshall County, and the main objective of the proposed project is to help stimulate tourism in the projected area. As you know, Aurora's economic base relies primarily upon tourism. The potential EDA investment of $314,000 would be compatible with our current policy. And the proposal has strong local support, along with commitments from the state Section 304 funds. We are now in the process of screening the profiles for many public works projects with high potential for creation of long-term employment opportunities. We will soon advise Bill Glasscock if we can consider the project in this funding year. If the project is selected for consideration this year, a pre-application conference will be scheduled with the officials of the Sanitation District Number 1. That's from Charlie Oxley. Now, I've been in contact with Sam Smith over the ad, also with Senator Huddleston's office and Ford's office. They are staying on this. The last conversation I had, it wasn't looking real good. It can change, but I'm hopeful, but yet I'm not going to get real hopeful as I did before in the Title IX applications that they thought we have. Oxley, I think he probably writes the same type of letter to everybody. Maybe that's a standard answer. It sounds like it. But anyway, they are reviewing us. That is a real important project. I don't know if everybody's really aware of how important that sewer district is in the Aurora area. It is vital if they're going to expand and grow in that area. Does anybody else have any correspondence that you received we need to take up this morning?
I had gotten a check from Calvert Bank in Calvert City. You remember after our last meeting, I said I was going to write to Calvert Bank First Liberty about getting a contribution from the Jaws of Life for the ambulance service. Calvert Bank responded and sent in a $50 check, which I have turned over to Junior. But I did want to report that we had got some positive response from that last letter. Calvert Bank sent in $50 from
Joel. Well, since we're on it, I did talk to Ernie Krause down at ARCO, and he said he talked to Bill White. And I understood him say that Bill White or Bill Stalling, one, maybe done committed himself, you know, to use it, to donate some.
Well, Bill White did tell me that they would participate. He didn't say how much.
Well, he said that they're checking out what other plants are going to do, and they would, you know, contribute. I don't know how much yet.
They are. I think we depend on our koala. What Bill White has stated to me, you know, before any time we have projects of this nature, they'll try to participate in whatever they do. Okay. I would like to see, you know, of course, the papers, I know, bombarded with requests, but I think, you know, it would be nice if y'all have room, if you could, you know, kind of recognize those who have, because it would be a community thing. It could be to save lives here in the community. Okay, an old business. I want to discuss the Big Bear Camp Road turnaround. Gordon, bring me up to date. We'll see what we do. I was going to bring that up to DOT people the other day, and like I told you, just we got so busy and it just slipped my mind.
Well,
we got a problem down in the Gordon area.
That is a turnaround, which is a turnaround.
some of the people are wanting it open, and some are not wanting it open. We have surveyors who are out there spot checking. And it's about three of the people have their fences and their yard out into the road right away. Now, I don't know, Roger, I'd like to turn this thing over to you. You had some calls on?
No, that's the first I heard of it, but it sounds like.
What's the name of that road, John? I can't think of that off hand.
Survey crew, we had one out there and made some shots for us on this, because Gordon wasn't sure and I wasn't sure, and we thought our best bet was just on a surveyor.
Well, in other words, what you're saying is, Gordon, these people, they've got their fences shut out on the right away, they don't want to move before you think they're.
No, they don't want to move, right.
Where's the bus turning around now, Gordon, in a driveway?
In a driveway, right. But now, this is not really the only, this is one road in this little subdivision of ours. Other roads that the people have their fences and so forth in these turnarounds. So, I feel like, too, that this should go back to their association. And the people in that area should get together, and they should decide if they are going to move their fences off of the county property. If they are, then they all should do it. But not that we, as the county or the road department, going around and making one man move his fence. Roger?
Yeah. If we're going to point out to one individual that his fence is interfering with the bus ride or the bus turnaround, we need at the same time to advise everybody out there of their problems on the right of way and request they all meet with us if they want to, the survey crew or whoever it is. They can give them the specific information about the lines and point it out to them. They don't have to ride, of course, on the county right of way. It needs to be kept, and I think it needs to be moved back to the right of way line. It's a bad precedent not to maintain our full right of way.
Do you feel that this should be left up to this association over there to decide what they want to do with
this deal? No, not really. I think it'd be helpful for us to work through the association and point out to them that the county right-of-way is being infringed, and they might want to take some collective action to come into compliance. But I think the decision to come into compliance or not really theirs to make.
I can
just to tell them what the situation is, and then advise them about taking necessary steps to come into compliance. And, you know, we've got the survey crew that can show them where the lines are. Maybe there's some pins that were put out there or something that'll help them come into compliance. But I don't think we can say we're going to let you, collectively, you association, decide whether or not to come into compliance.
Okay, if you got one man that said his rock post, rock fence built, it's 15 feet on the property. Yet another man has got it 5 feet on the property. And we'll say this association, the people meet and they decide they prefer not to enforce this or so on and so forth.
The county still keeps.
Then we have one road over there that their fences are on the county property, and the other six people on this road once people remove their fences off the county property, what do we do in this case?
The county can require to remove what they have from the right of way.
Can we require this one road, or should we go ahead through the whole association, the whole entire subdivision?
I think if we're going to get into it, we'd have to go to the whole subdivision.
Okay, that's the point I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Now, what if 90% of the people of our doors, they throw up their hand, now what takes place?
Well, that, of course, legally, as far as the county's concerned, wouldn't stop the county from having the right to insist that the right of way be cleared. Be its determination of whether or not we wanted to initiate the action to have the right of way cleared, legal action.
It's county property, it's not their property.
Yeah.
What you're saying, though, Gordon, is this, you know, two of them want to move, and several of them don't.
That's right.
Like I said, he couldn't just say, well, look, you're going to get to move here, but we're going to have to so-and-so.
This is what I've been trying to tell him. I mean, the one road is,
if we open that up
and open that one road, we're going to have to open the remainder of it. turnarounds in that area.
That's right. I think
what
that's
it is, they have a dead end road and they have a 100-foot turnaround. See, yeah. And the people that owns and have owned in the past years will learn how
just crept in.
Crept in and so on and so forth and move their fences out in the 100-foot turnaround. See, which is a 50-foot road right away going into this 100-foot turnaround.
I would say I wouldn't advise our going in and just working on requiring one road in a subdivision coming.
Well, this is what I've been trying to tell them.
I think we'd have to do it all over the whole subdivision.
That's exactly what I've been telling them. I didn't say going and doing the one road. If we're going
to
work on this one road, we're going to have to go through the whole subdivision and have you to write them a letter requesting them to move their fences and their iron posts and so on and so forth. Trees off of the right of way.
Turn the right of way.
Yeah, but if you come over and told me, look, you're going to have to move your fence back 5 foot, I'd go through the trees still away, you'll probably leave here, I don't know why I'd get over right away.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the type of situation we have.
Well, I feel like I've done all I can do. I think it's time to try to go to the county attorney again. And I'll contact the president of the association and tell him they can.
If you would, after the meeting, give me the name of the president of the association and those persons who have requested it, because they'll be helpful in getting the information out there.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, we discussed the health insurance at the last meeting, and next on the agenda was the Magistrate's Road Authority. Gentlemen, the action of the General Assembly was pointed out by CAECO and by the Department of Local Government and their attorney, Stanley Stratford, that the magistrate's authority does not encompass the road department. That authority can be delegated to the magistrates, which it has been in most counties for years. But I think in the administrative code, and also by, and I might quickly add, the county judge has the authority to delegate that responsibility, not necessarily by action of the magistrates.
Oh, my letter didn't read that
way,
did you?
No.
Let's get the
wrong. You read the wrong letter, boy. Read the statute.
Well,
I've done checked it out.
I'd like letting the one-arm attorney read that letter I got, because what mine thing was, that you run the road department, we tell you how to do it. What you're thinking?
Well, that's the same thing. You have a cow and under
that. That's the bottom. P.S. I'm in it, too.
P.S. I'm in it. That's exactly. He said that if we needed a lower ground, we'd pick up the phone and call the judge and tell him.
We couldn't fix the bridge, but we could tell you how to do it.
That's right.
You said that
with me? I've got it. I meant to bring it with me.
Well, I'll probably reach him on the phone when I get home.
Well, gentlemen, have a different interpretation of that law.
that's what mine actually said, though.
I did.
Well,
Stratford, did I receive a letter on that, Judge?
No, I talked to Stratford about it up at CAECO. He addressed the county judge's judge executive's meeting. And Dan was there when I'd been there for part of the meeting, and I missed this particular part, but Dan was there, and Robert Stroud and Roger when he addressed the county officials down at Kentucky Dam Village. Only two magistrates were there, one from Livingston, one from Callaway at that time. Stan was rather strong in his statements down there that the county judge, I think the way he put it, could appoint his grandmother if he wanted to run the road department. Well, that's fine, but we've never operated that way, nor have they operated that way in most other counties. I think it's a joint responsibility of the county judge as a member of the court and the three magistrates to have joint responsibility as far as the road department is concerned. But what I would like to do, to be in compliance with the law, and we will incorporate it in the administrative code, is the adoption of a resolution giving the authority for the road department to the fiscal court, period. Which would mean each member of the court. Roger, you might want to draft a resolution, wording it a little differently, but in effect, I think that would cover
I think what they need. Stratford said he even needs to be
let me ask you this. Who would pay Grandma? How would she get paid? I mean, you know, who how would it be compensated? Just say, for instance, that you decided to say that.
Well, just like anybody else, the county judge has authority to hire people. You know, with the approval.
Yeah, but I mean, suppose we didn't want to pay Grandma, what would you do then?
Grandma would either work for nothing or go to town.
No, I just wondered, you know,
no.
Like I said, how she would be transferred.
Just like sitting down and hiring and firing county employees. It's done. We have delegated the road responsibility to John, but in order for John to be able to do it, we got to back him up.
Well,
as far as the hiring practices, you know, we hire here with your approval.
This letter is on pertaining. It was good until January, right? Yeah, I think before the way it read it, this thing was going to affect the show. The administrative code got it January 1.
And the administrative code will pretty well take care of. I've got a copy of Christian County's administrative code and also a model plan, not the big one, Roger, this all condensed model version. I really like Christian County's better because we would have to make, this was drafted pretty much by Judge Edmonds, who's an attorney, and I'm pretty sure I don't care if he's been a member of the state legislature, and Bill did an excellent job at his. Kind of use that as a guide to go by, but it's been accepted.
Well, how we come along, right?
We've got a meeting with Andrew tomorrow. We've got a few things done.
We've got lots of bits and pieces on it that we've been acting partially or gotten drafts over the year.
Are we going to be ready to put it by the first of January?
Very doubtful.
We'll have some.
What percentage of it is this figure?
We'll have an administrative code enacted by January 1. Our first meeting in January.
How much time are we going to have a copy of this to look at?
Well, the first one will be a relatively short draft, and I'm sure a week to look at it before we enact. Of course, it has to be enacted by ordinance, which means it has to be read at two meetings.
Well, I mean,
all else fails.
Fine, but I like to see what it say first.
Well, Edmondson County says the county government of Edmondson County will be operated on a day-to-day basis by the Edmondson County Fiscal Court. Any problems incurred in first paragraph one above.
That'd be fine. Trying to
cover that, right? Ed tried to get that through, and they didn't accept it. They sent it back to all right, we'll work for that. Gentlemen in the area, is there any other old business that needs to be brought up? In the area of new business, I've had another request. Remember some time ago, Ernie Collins made a request that he would like to bid on that retrieval truck that we've got sitting out there, mainly for the winch that's on it. At that time, the court said they didn't really want to sell it. And that's been over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. The old retrieval truck was purchased by Marshall County government for $1 from the TVA and was used by the Marshall County JCs when they collected over 700 inoperable automobiles throughout the county. Cat Spears, most of you know Cat, I don't know his real name.
Larry
Spears, works with Benton Power Company, has expressed an interest in also buying that truck or bidding on it if the court is interested in selling it. I think him and his brother are particularly interested in going into the business of retrieving all that out before long.
The neighborhood is $10 a ton. If you offer more.
That's not counting him.
Well, that's not counting anything but the cost of the material.
And the other thing
you got to have. Well, 13, just right now, 13.50, I believe, 13.25. But we can expect probably a little increase.
I'd be
a little more.
What all, you have to know on the decision and what we would have to do in order to get started.
Well, I don't think, really all we got here is a program. All we're really interested in is one thing, is object breakdown. Yeah, object one, $2,000, that's actually for state employees. Anytime if you need a state employee, if y'all don't have some kind of operator, we can charge against that. Mm-hmm. Object two is expenses. Say you had to drive, had some expenses, we charge against that. Object four is for other equipment, other than state equipment. This is like your post bill. Actually, big object is object five and material. Object six is state equipment. Like you can have a crane or something you could borrow off of us and we charge against it. So if your big object is object five, that gets set in material. So all we want to do is get that set up. Right, if y'all okay, if you set that up for material, then we will use it as you and us agree, whether it's for hot mix, fine, wood craft. See, we broke it down here to give you an estimate about what we think you would need to maintain these roads. But this does no way tie you down to using 3,200 gallons of RS2. Always trying to tie the top of it. All right, that's what we really need to approve this object breakdown of money.
But then, like you said, it's going to pass down there in certain times.
It takes a little trouble to work the program. I mean, we have to go through the same thing every year, same road that you want on the program and all. And that has to be site and all gotten together and submitted to Frankfurt for their approval and then back to you all for final approval. And actually what we need to know today is you all are satisfied with the program the way it is now.
Bill, I said
not considering the money or anything about it.
Okay, Bill, I said something over there wrong there. I have to figure this out. We would want to throw that $32,792 up inside, too.
That's the purpose of it, really. However, you know, if they should want to buy it or something like that, even though we think it takes this 115,000 to maintain the road, but then we should have to know that some other time that's low.
Well, in other words,
we need to
double
13,000.
If we happen to need a pipe or something, we really need a pipe or something. We can find out where we can get a pipe or whatever.
As long as it's an object five, we can buy any kind of material we want. In other words, we can take this any amount of $115,000 and we can buy any kind of material we want.
I didn't see that. I just moved to 32.
Along with the 32.
Okay.
That's just the way it works out. Well, actually what we'd like to do is have a resolution that you all will accept the program when we bring it back to final approval. That's what it does take a little trouble to get quite a bit of trouble to get it all together. We need to get together and come back over here and say that's not what we want to start with. So, that's a little irritating, so that's all we need to do. Resolution, if y'all will accept the program, if it suits you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Gentlemen, what's your pleasure?
Well, the way I understand it, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Taking a hard look around, we adopt the resolution approving the proposed 1979-80 County Road Aid Program. Second, George, if you second
the
motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed nay? Motion carries.
Is there any more questions now that y'all want to ask while we
what you find out on that deal?
We're going to go look at the, now the contractor has been relieved of his obligation. We don't know, how much damage we've got out there, but they can get him back. It would have to be by change order, which that means we've got to pay some more money. Ron and I are going out after we get out of the meeting, we're going out to look to see what, how much damage we've got. It might be, it'd be almost impossible to get the contractor doing it, this winter, because it's getting too late now. And it may be that we have to do some kind of maintenance on that sale.
We're going to have to do something, we've got to throw clothes up now.
Yeah, we know. Yes, it has to be clothes, clothes.
How many places you got?
On that road?
Yeah.
The one, right down.
Just one place?
Yes.
One out here on the Jackson School Road on this new blacktop they laid for us, that's got a great big pothole fell in.
With water running on it, right. Just happened during the, after this rain?
Before the rain.
Happened before.
Have to make it there out with it.
I don't know what.
That's the Jackson School Road, that's in the, Bryantburg Road, the one going in the zone. You got two.
Hollytown Road.
Well, no, it ain't the Hollytown Road, it's Bryantburg. Been in Bryantburg.
Oh, Benton Bryantburg, I thought you were talking about where it fell in. Sorry about that.
This one out here on Jackson School Road, that was a complete resurface job, one end of that road to the other.
Can't miss it, y'all.
That's out there, and I don't know what really has happened. This has happened before this rain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, before the other rain.
I can't see an excuse for that happening this quick. Contractor, he may have already been relieved of his bond, but,
I showed a completion date of, I forgot now, December 3rd or something like that. So we'll take a look at it, and we'll find out if it's over.
Now. I hadn't seen any bid names, but some of the roads that we had approved on, or that we had turned in, didn't appear in the paper in the last bid day. Can we expect over the next bid day and bill?
We were talking about what, Forest Gap Road or?
No, some other roads that we turned in, remember we turned in some roads on the. I talked to Judge Engel, he told me to get the roads to you and we'd get them on up there and he'd approve them. I didn't remember what program we talked about there.
I thought we had all those that we sent in.
Well, they all didn't appear in the paper. Well, they may have all been approved, but all of them didn't appear in the paper that we sent in.
Yeah.
One in particular was one of those roads down in Gordon's district that cuts through there. Right. The old drive-in, cuts there at the old drive-in, and the old field.
Right, at 641, 68.
And one road we turned in, what I understood, all of them we turned in was approved, but that one didn't appear in the paper. And I was just wondering, maybe, sometimes you'll get one bid letting one, or get less one bid letting one than another. If you don't mind, Bill, if you don't care if you check on that for me, see, because I've had some of the people out there ask me about it because they saw it didn't appear in the letting and they knew we turned it in.
I don't believe we sent an estimate in on that one. Because, we had X amount of dollars and that was right down at the bottom of the list, if I remember correctly.
We tried to figure our money out in each district.
Yeah, but I don't believe we turned that in. I don't have that.
Check that out real quick.
Okay.
That is a real heavily traveled road that connects two of our districts.
Well, that comes down our brother. What's the name of the toll over there?
Tatumville.
Bill back to 641, right, but in the old range.
Right there.
All the way through.
All
It connects 641 and 68 highway together.
68 always do that. It crosses 68 and crosses 1422 and goes on and comes out on 641.
We do have.
Time always makes it highway.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that our money ran out before we got that.
Well, we've got
some unencumbered money. You know, we talked about it once before.
Right.
$68,000 or something. I don't remember, but it's
you couldn't bring a substitute or anything else to leave a grain bridge.
I could get it. Kept object eight because I circled it there to ask you that specific question.
set aside money to get more mileage. And we couldn't, and then I called Otto, and he's supposed to give me an answer on that. In fact, I saw him up at Keiko, and he still didn't give an answer. He said he's going to come down here.
Well, I think that these projects, don't hold me to, I think that these projects that you sent in, the research and stuff, kind of got all the money added together, and we took those projects back. It seems to me like we've got something like $68,000 and something like that in uncovered funds right now.
Okay. Well, give me a breakout when you get a chance. Now, excuse me, girl, I got a little carried away there. But I'd circle that, and I remember that was a question I'd asked you.
You had called me. Probably never heard of
Frank.
You girls know what a bull is, don't you?
Please. It's been a bad day.
I've got a question. I'm not trying to put you on, but I've got a question. On this tax, gasoline tax, people buy it. We get X number of money back off of it. Okay, that money can be used on 161 miles of county of State Aid Road. Now, my question is, people are asking me, you live on county deeded road. What can they do to get their road on a county State Aid maintain up to that road? They're paying this tax, they're buying the gasoline, they're spending the money, they're not getting no use of their tax dollar except for running on the US highway.
Okay, the best thing they can do is get you or the judge and convince you to take off a mile of road over here someplace else and put their mile on.
That's all we do.
Back through the years, we had wrestlers from the 54 every year, or each year, I think. And we have come up with 161 miles of County 8 Road in Morrison County. And they say with the amount of money that we get, that is all the amount of miles of road that we can possibly maintain with this X amount of dollars. So they won't let us add any more. The only way that they will go along with adding another road is for you to pick out one somewhere that you won't take off. That you think you won't get your head chopped off. If you take this one off and put this one on over here. And that's the only way it works.
If we hunt next to mile the road, which the maintenance is going to be pretty well off of it for a while, could you take that mile off of it?
You can take anything off. You can take anything off anytime you want to, as long as we don't care what you do, as long as we don't exceed this 161 miles.
Yeah, but the whole time we're doing that, you know, we're just robbing
Peter,
that gives you a chance to get another road up in shape.
In other words, if you get a hot mix road like you said up far and you want to take that thing off and put another road on, y'all would approve it?
Okay, well, yeah, we can only do that at this time of year. This would be the best time of year, the best time of year. Well, okay. Before we make the program, that's the best time. Or then we have to go into a supplemental agreement at the end of the year. Sometimes if you go into that, that's the one we're going to see the pretty much product.
Yeah, that's what we came over for.
Questions, gentlemen? Why ain't you going to take about a 5-minute break here?
Okay, you want to get fly back?
All right, let's take about a 5-minute recess. We'll be back successful at the public meeting. Bubby, what are you working today? What are you working
today? I'm way down to make it session 1:30.
You couldn't find it in there.
You can't go back before 1:30.
Boy,
where's Carol City?
Sharp Road, eh?
What? Carol City Sharp.
Mile 310. That's the contract.
Oh, it's
by the school?
Oh, that's the one where we're going for new bridge.
That's the one we're going to do. We're going to pop that right on there.
Mm-hmm.
Got a letter over on it.
Well, good, they're going to do it.
From England, all said that they had many of our rural road programs, but
good, that's
good.
Good.
What it says.
That's a little side of it.
Exactly where is that?
That's right, it starts at Brewers, right there at Hannah's
Dolphin Books. Well, I think that's a research.
Okay, here's what was approved last year.
Bethel Church, 1422, Kentucky 1422, it was 2.56 mile research. Jackson School, what y'all were talking about, was approved under the last year's system. Also, Railroad Avenue, southeast of Calvert City, and Cedar Street in Calvert City, and Wilkins Lane. And the Maple Springs was one we recommend this year, also was last year, and Jack Trees was last year, was one we recommend again this year. And the old Brinesburg and Gilfield Road was the one that starts at 601 and extends south and west, 68, the one
right.
That we talked about, we recommend last year too. Also, Lakeview Church Road was recommended, that was started at Kentucky 95 and extending east to the public school road. And Euston Church Road was the Callaway County line extending north to Beale Road was recommended. Ashley Street out here by the Parkway. And the Lynch Road, which was over the other side of South Park, was 641 out by Don Lynch. And the Fall Sled Road, the junction 795 and extending north to junction 68, was up here by Pamela. And James Turner Road jumps from 1519 extending north to Dead End. That was up there on the sled road. But that was what was recommended last year. What that told you was going to approve.
Bobby, is this Cedar Street over Calvin? Is that the one we've had the problems in determining whether it's city or county? What's that street? 15th Avenue.
That is, and it's Railroad Avenue, see, we thought.
Well, that was complete. That's been complete.
Right. But I'd like to recommend that this from 641 to 68, we turned them last year. We have, like, you know, go drive the vehicle to 68 Friday. That two roads there, I think it's a three-year highway. It's
one of the two-year highways
in one state.
That's 641, 1422, and 68 all the time, all together.
Also, you know, we'd like to have this as the daughters, we'd like to have done fire. So on our program, we'll have them, we put them in priority list, but whatever, if you don't give us priority, we'll put them down.
Well, the Brinesburg and Haley Road is my first priority on my part of it. If you want to join this. Other than that, it is for a fire, you can do that.
We'll just put it down and take a problem.
The same as last year.
All right. My second priority would be overdriving.
What is this?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, wait a minute.
That's the problem. Well, we put that down for our last year, and it's not all that long, and it's a connected road, and if we get out of our hair, we'll have to run grader out of the way.
Half a mile. That'll be IT, so that'll be
That's pretty. I'd like to put it on the list. I'm still very interested in getting that thing.
Which one do you judge?
Up the South Marshall, it's a half mile stretch of road there.
Ties them together.
It's tied these blacktop roads together. We had one equipment out of the way. A
box track to come from back.
Last year, we just were a mess.
See, it was reconstructed a few years back.
Right. Right.
Or about a year ago, it was widened and upgraded.
I thought this one.
feet out of where it's all fixed. I'd like to recommend fixing that blacktop back down the park, so it's safe for that, that's what I'm doing. So, if you want to pass through this time, that'd be right, with a store, we could pass it. How should we go about it, I mean, with those bonds like that?
Okay.
Well, I can just take away and...
The one thing, the judge had, he had signed it right there, he probably drove the bond.
We didn't sign that one. We have on some, but the other one we didn't.
That's what I, you know, we checked that, like, some way that just slipped.
That slipped by, so.
But what I have done, even within the Department of Transportation, said our construction and our maintenance is a little bit apart. So what I have done with construction, done with the needs, and the contractors going bond a state road, and boy, I have right in there that myself or one of my maintenance engineers will be with the resident engineer when he inspects the road prior to releasing the contractor from the bond.
Well, that's what we did.
That's what I would suggest that y'all put that in there, and what we do, I send a man with him, and I log the road before they start hauling on it. See any breaks in it, I log them down, because it's a real good road, I trust them when I say so. But whenever they're complete, we go right back over it, and any change there, I hope the contractor will come. And if you've got a black and white like that, then that may be the case.
I'd like to recommend that one back to the park before it's tore up. From Hutchinson to... We call it Deemore, but after what you got...
We never been find that bond on that.
No, I checked it, took it, in fact, I think it's all you back, might be the Deemore. But that's just got on that report all in there.
Is that the one that had the IT or some service?
Well, it's sealed, too. Couple of them. I think it's right about there.
Now, from 62 up to top of hill, not with...
No, I'm just talking about now, from the hot mix, from I-24 back. From I-24 back to the hot mix, before it gets back to 62, which is about, what, 4 miles?
It's like from the surface to that point.
Right.
And that is one that starts there in the shop.
No.
It's the same road, but the other end of it.
No, that's not got a panel.
I guess that might be.
The door is from the studio. It's not got a panel. Way back at the start. Like, if you're going...
Go to 95, 62 crossing, go towards the middle, be first road on the left.
Right. He calls me, but I don't know.
Well, that's just a little bit of a load there.
Here's one of them.
I'm sorry.
Right, so here it goes. He said, boy, here. He found a few bud wires. That's not what surnamed old Frank was.
Gentlemen, we got to move along now. We can't. Look, you getting that? Got it? All right. We got any other priorities you want to add to what they're listing?
Really?
What's that?
Any
other priorities we want to put to them? All right, you got 1, 2, and 3 there, Phil? Mayor has something he'd like to bring up. We've got some insurance people that are waiting.
Okay, are
going
you,
to have
are
to
you,
recess for tomorrow morning.
This afternoon?
Well, we've got a bed opening at 2 o'clock at the health department. We've got a meeting at Little Calvert City. Wayne's got a bus route he's got to run. Yeah, we've got too much business we've got to discuss. We can't do it all in the next 15 minutes.
We appreciate
thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Come
go
back.
Ahead, Tony.
Bill, come back and see you.
All right. See you all.
Okay. What I'll discuss with you is this is concerned the Marsh County Fair. Several years ago, you used to have charter racing here, which was a great success, as you all know, as far as attendance-wise. What happened, the reason it got phased out was purses. The people weren't able to raise the purses for the racing. So the judge, I talked to Mike back in, I guess, February, and the JC's about starting back racing. What brought this on is Scotty Harris out of Paducah owns a lot of horses himself, and he helped Mayfield start back their racing program this year. And he told me how to go about it. So I talked to Mike and the JC's, and we're just kind of drifting along, and this morning I got a call from just prior to coming over here from Dr. Edgar Brian Morgan Sr., who was raised in the Simpsonia area. In fact, I just told Roger he was a cousin of Willie Foster, Chuck. And he's a medical doctor there, and he's president of the Kentucky Cars Race Association. In order to put this on, they only have now 6 in the state county fairs that had racing. He said if I would call Tom Dorman, he wrote the letter requesting the money for Marshall County and received the letter yesterday. So I called Tom Dorman and requested $3,500 out of Governor's Contingency Fund, which he had that much set up for 6 county fairs. And then this same fellow, Dr. Morgan, is on a commission, the Ag Culture Commission, Tom Harris, the Ag Culture Department.
they will match this with $3,500. That'll give us $7,000 in purses that we'll put, plus the entrance fee. We'll put you a full racing program back here in the county fair. And I believe Henderson's dropping out of it. It's going to take a lot of work to put this back. And he suggested to ask the governor for a $50,000 grant for capital improvements in the fairgrounds. So I talked to Tom about, this is governor's aid, about the governor's got money in a capital federal construction funds.
They ain't holding them down, by the way.
Well, they have also,
I saw that.
Also, a convention and fairgrounds fund, which is matching, which I've been committed from the governor, a match of $100,000 for a community building. And these money from this contingency capital fund. So Tom couldn't tell me at this time if we might get the $50,000, that would be for the track, the grandstand, and the lighting. But the money is there, and he asked for us to write a letter and request a matter of record for the $3,500 from the governor's contingency fund, and we would get it. And then this gentleman, he's on the commission, he's a man that designates, we'll have $7,000 per person for racing. And Scotty Harris, who runs the one in Maduka and the one in Mayfield for their fires, will come help us set it up. What I'm thinking is that we are in need, that we've talked about a county fair board that would help. Jason cannot do all this by himself. And the judge and fiscal court would appoint a county fair board for this purpose, but the JC would still run the fair, you know, and share in the profits or the losses. Yes, sir.
Are we going to have off-track betting?
I really don't know about that.
You can charge that, huh?
If you want to, I guess you can get off the track and bet. I don't know. But this is a popular thing in Marshall County. We'll draw, I think this will bring the county fair back up to standards that a lot of them are having. If you've been to Maduka and Mayfield, you see what they have. So the judge is, all right, you all prepare a letter for us and asking Tom for this money, and then in turn, this gentleman here, Dr. Morgan, will ask Tom, we'll have $7,000 in person, but I don't know how big a county fair board should be, but there's some people here, at least I have, that served on it before. And I wouldn't care who's on it myself, if y'all would say the next meeting. So we'll just start coordinating if y'all agreeable. But I think it's bring us back, the racing would bring us back to a good county fair. And these people up there really worked hard to get the thing together. So you have about 3 days racing during your fair. And the interest fee, it might have to be possibly, if you want to have more racing, you should raise something.